ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। हरे कृष्ण। Within the Srimad Bhagavatam, it is said that just like there is fire in firewood, but to bring out that fire, some amount of endeavor is required. Similarly, there is milk in the milk bag of a cow, but one has to agitate the milk bag to get the milk. Similarly, there is potency to germinate and grow and produce fruits in a seed, like a mango seed, but one has to sow the mango seed under the ground and water it, nurture it, to see it grow into a tree and produce mangoes. Similarly, in the path of bhakti, some swachesta is required. Swachesta is individual effort by the practitioner. Just like these three examples are given in Bhagavatam. Like to bring out fire from firewood, you know, it takes some time and energy. Similarly, to bring out milk from a milk bag of a cow, or sow a seed and grow it into a tree. So there are many verses in Bhagavatam. There is one particular verse which says, Shrinvata Shraddhaya Nityam Grinatascha Swacheshtitam, he says. Swacheshta means one's own personal endeavor is required. If one wants to make a swift progress in the path of Krishna consciousness. So, that the purpose of Bhagavata mentioning this particular point on Swacheshta is because there is a general tendency in the living beings in this world to be lazy for spiritual life. Because there is a tendency called complacency and comfort zone, which all the living beings suffer from in the material world. You will oftentimes find only when there is a danger, one runs to the lotus feet of God. Like you see the demigods. They generally run to Vishnu's lotus feet whenever there is a danger. That is one reason why sometimes the Lord sends demons into this world also. Because when the demons come and they create a havoc for demigods, they all run to Vishnu. At least time to time they get to remember the lotus feet of the Supreme Lord, isn't it? So, that's one reason why Kunti Maharani is welcoming calamities in her life. Because she knows when there are calamities, we will run to Krishna's lotus feet. And also, she was telling, what is better, to have calamities and have Krishna with us, or have no calamities and have no Krishna? So when I asked this question to students, they said, sir, we would like a third option. They said, what is it? No calamities, but Krishna should be with us. You understand, no? Actually, when there are calamities, then Krishna can solve them. A devotee need not take any anxiety. A devotee simply has to follow Krishna, as Arjuna followed Krishna in the battlefield of Kurukshetra. So, yesterday we were at a point where the Bhaktivedantas who came to that village, they were all doing Krishna Katha amongst themselves. I was singing the song about Krishna's qualities. Venur Madhura, Renur Madhura, Panir Madhura, Padav Madhura, Nrityam Madhuram, Sakhyam Madhuram, Madhuradhipate, Akhilam Madhuram, Madhuradhipate, Akhilam Madhuram, Gitam Madhuram, Pitam Madhuram, Bhuktam Madhuram, Suptam Madhuram, Rupam Madhuram, Tilakam Madhuram, Madhuradhipater, Akilam Madhuram, Madhuradhipater, akilam maduram. So here it is explained, Gita Maduram means, in the battlefield of Kurukshetra, Krishna spoke some words of wisdom, which became immortalized as Bhagavad Gita for all time to come. So his words are so sweet that they can be written in golden letters and framed. Such are his pure words that comes out of his mouth, Krishna's mouth. And Gitam Madhuram, Pitam Madhuram is the Pitambar, the dazzling golden effulgent dhoti that Krishna was wearing in the battlefield of Kurukshetra, was most appreciated by everyone, especially by Bhishma Pitama, when he was seeing from the other side. And Bhukta Madhuram, even his eating is also very beautiful to see. How Krishna eats from the hand of Yashoda, all the Yashoda's friends come to see. That is a very great pastime also. Sometimes Yashoda has to show the moon. And when Krishna is looking at the moon with the open mouth, she will put the dhyanam into his mouth. Because forgetfully, if he is watching somewhere, he can put. Otherwise, it's very difficult to feed him. Of course, in Jagannath Puri, Jagannath is called as the eating lord. But lakhs of people come to see the eating lord, who eats a breakfast which is bigger than the size of this room. So much he is fed. So when Lord eats with his friends, covered boyfriends, he sits in a circle and he eats. That is very beautiful to look at. And also many friends, they share with Krishna also, whatever lunch packet they have brought with them. Bhuktam Madhuram. Suptam Madhuram means even Krishna sleeping is very beautiful to see. Lord Ranganatha is a sleeping Lord. Is lying in the Ananta Shesha. Shantakaram Bhujaga Shayanam. Bhujaga means a serpent. Padmanabham Suresham. Vishwadharam Gagana Sadrisham. Meghavarnam Shubhangam. Lakshmikantam. Kamalanayanam Yogi Hridhyanagamyam. Vande Vishnum Bhavabhayaharam Sarvalokaikanatham. Meghashyamam. His bodily hue is that of a fresh monsoon cloud. Meghashyamam. Pita Kaushaya Vasam, again the Pitambara is explained. Srivat Sankam Kaustubodbhasitangam Punyopetam Pundarikayataksham Vishnum Mande Sarvalokaikanatham. So, Lord Ranganatha is lying in Anantashesh and millions of people come to see the beauty of the Lord lying in his bed with semi-closed eyes and in Yoga Nidra. Now, if any of us were to sleep, who will want to see a sleeping person? Unless somebody is awake, you want to meet him and talk to him. But when Lord is sleeping, in sleep he is creating all the universes from his own pores of his body. Millions of universes. So one man came to our temple. I was showing him this Krishna art book, you know, the big book. I was showing the pictures to him. So when that particular picture came where Mahavishnu is lying and all universes are coming out of his body, he said, this picture is the one I like the most, he said. I asked him why. He said, this Lord is lying and in sleep only he is creating so many universes. I wish I can also do my company job like this. I can relax and all work will be done very easily. No? So, of course, Lord is not in Shushupti, the Lord is in Samadhi. We have Jagrati, Swapna, Shushupti and Samadhi. Shushupti means deep sleep, deep ignorance. Whereas Samadhi means internally one is alert, although externally one seems to be sleeping. One's eyes are semi-closed. It's Yoga Nidra. It's called as not ordinary mundane Nidra. What Nidra it is? Yoga Nidra. So, Suptam Madhuram. This sleeping is also very beautiful to see. Lot of people come from far, far away distances to see the Lord lying in his Anantashesha, relaxing and sleeping with his semi-closed eyes. So, in this way his form is very beautiful, his rupam is beautiful, his tilakam is beautiful. So in this way, these Bhaktivedantas, they were all discussing about Krishna's names, Krishna's form, Krishna's pastimes. I was singing in the beginning today, Yashumatinandan. That is called as Leela Varnan. So there is Guna Varnan, there is Leela Varnan. So when they were doing these discussions, this small boy, he got very fascinated and attracted. He says that the life of devotional service to the Lord became very attractive to me. So, it is very important In the beginning, that one hears about Krishna's Bhagavata. Bhagavata means his supremacy. Prabhupada says, when we read Bhagavad Gita, at the end of Bhagavad Gita, one will find oneself at Krishna's lotus feet. And one will consider Krishna the greatest. And one will, in fact, Krishna himself says in Bhagavad Gita, how should we treat him? Please repeat this beautiful verse. Kavim Puranam Anushasitaram Anoraniyamsam Anusmaretya Sarvasya Dhataram Achintya Rupam Aditya Varnam Tamasaparastat. So he's saying Lord should be understood as the Kavim, the most learned. This Kavi is superior to even Adi Kavi also. Adi Kavi is who? Brahmaji. And modern day Kavi is Stephen Kavi. But is better than modern Kavi, old Kavi, all Kavis. The Kavis of all Kavis who? Krishna. Kavim, Puranam, the oldest, the most learned personality. And then he says, Kavim Puranam Anushasitaram, is the controller of the whole universe. Anoraniyamsam is present in every atom, smaller than the smallest. And Anusmaredya, Sarvasya Dhataram, is upholding everything. Achintya is inconceivable, yet Rupam, he has a form also. And his body is glowing with effulgence. So, one has to know Krishna's supremacy in order for one to respect him. And one has to know Krishna's sweetness in order for one to love him. So, before love comes admiration and respect. Because directly one cannot come to love. So, in the Srimad Bhagavad Gita, we come to understand Krishna's supremacy. Like for example, one of the things that is explained in Bhagavad Gita is proprietorship of the Lord of everything. Everything belongs to Him. Like for example, all the gold mines and silver mines and diamond mines in this world, from where the living entities take out some gold, diamond, silver, everything, they all belong to Krishna only. Krishna says, I am the Swami, Sarva Loka Maheshwaram, He says. And when we say, you know, somebody is a Lakpati, somebody is a Karadupati, somebody is a Arapati, Karapati, but Krishna is called Lakshmipati. He is the Pati of all Lakshmi. It is not that Krishna has 100% and other living entities have 90% or something like that. If you compare living entities' wealth with Krishna's, it will be like Krishna has 100% and living beings have 1%, but that 1% also doesn't belong to living entities. Because they have just taken and kept with them for some time and then they leave it and die and go away. That also belongs to Krishna only. In one sense, nobody wants anything other than Krishna. So, yes, it is true, when people come to this world, they pick up some gold, some silver and stock it here or put some money in Swiss bank and everything. But they all leave it and go away. Mrityu sarva harashchaham, Krishna says. I take it away at the time of death. And it is not that before death it was belonging to them. They thought it belonged to them. Ultimately, it belongs to Krishna only. So, one of the vital things that one should understand is the proprietorship, then controllership and enjoyership. These three things are explained vividly in Bhagavad Gita. So, after we understand that and come to a point of seeing everything belongs to Him, and then the purpose is you find yourself at Krishna's lotus feet. And then when you come to Bhagavatam, then we understand how Krishna is unfailing in His love. It's called as Achyuta. In this world, even beautiful, handsome people, Miss India, Miss, you know, Mr. India and all of them, their beauty is finished after some time. Similarly, somebody is a man of high character, sometimes even people like that fall down in this world. Similarly, somebody is young, hale and healthy, when they become old, they become invalid. So in this world, we find people's qualities diminish in this world. There is one whole verse on different kinds of bhayam. Boge, rogi bhayam. Kule, chiti bhayam. Mane, dainya bhayam. Rupe, jaraya bhayam, it is said. Isn't it? Boge means, one who is enjoying life is afraid of rogue, anytime disease may come. kule chuti bayam. If somebody is born in a high kul, he is afraid he may fall down from that position. Similarly, maane danyabam, somebody is very respectable, he may lose honor. That fear is there always. In this way, rupe jarayabayam, somebody has a beautiful, handsome form, they have fear that the beauty will go away. Like there was one very beautiful princess, she called an artist to draw her picture. So she sat and gave a pose, and the artist drew a beautiful picture, which became very famous. Everybody appreciated. So she also gave a big remuneration to the artist, thanking him, gave a big money to him. And 20 years later, again the artist was coming to that place. So she called for him and said, again I would like you to draw, because at that time everybody appreciated my rupa, my form. Please draw it. So this time he drew it. And when she showed it to many people, they said, oh, it looks so ugly. So she was very angry with the artist. You know, now I will not give you any money now for this. What is this? She said, madam, what can I do? In the last 20 years, your form has become ugly now. It was beautiful before, but now the beauty is no more. Is it not true? I can only draw what you are. I cannot draw you more beautifully than what you are. I am just seeing and drawing, he said. In this world, you will find everything diminishes in this world. Whereas, one thing that never diminishes is Krishna's opulences. He called as Adhyam Purana Purusham Navayavanamcha. He is not even Yavanamcha, he is Navayavanamcha. He is like fresh youth. And he is ever fresh youth always. His beauty never diminishes. So, these Bhaktivedantas were discussing about Krishna Tattva, Krishna Leela, Krishna Naam, and all these things they were doing Gunagan. When the boy came, he became very fascinated. With their permission, he sat, as I told you, Anugrahena Ashrinavam Manohara. He heard yesterday, was telling yesterday. Now, yeah, you can read it further, what he says. In their association, I heard narrations of Lord Krishna's transcendently attractive pastimes. By such regular and attentive hearing, my taste for such topics increased at every step. You see, in Bhagavatam itself it is said, Atma Ramasya Munayo Nirgranta Apyurukrame Kurvantyahaitukim Bhaktim Ittam Bhuta Guno Hari. It is said, even the Brahman realized, the jnanis also become fascinated by Krishna's pastimes, that they want to hear them. Like Brahman realized, the jnani Shukadeva Goswami went to the jungle. But actually he went away from his father, Vedavyas. And Vedavyas went behind him. But then when he went to the jungle, he heard that beautiful song from two woodcutters. When he heard that, Barha Pidam Natavaravapu Karna Yokarnikaram Vibrat Basa Kanaka Kapisham Vaijayantim Chamalam Randran Venu Radarasudayag Purayan Gopa Vrindair Vrindaranyam Swapadaramanam Pravishad Gita Kirtihi. So this song is appearing in the Srimad Bhagavatam at a point when Krishna is returning from the forest after herding the cows and calves, along with his friends, surrounded by his friends, who are always Gita Kirtihi, they are glorifying his pastimes, and surrounded by his friends, along with cows and calves, raising the dust with their hoods. And Krishna's ears are tucked with a blue color flower, and he has very beautiful locks of curly hair. He is playing on his flute, and he fills the flute with a very sweet sound. It charms the heart of all the Vajibhasis. So when he heard this song, Shukadeva Goswami, although he was a Brahman realized jnani, he became agitated spiritually in his heart. And then another song he heard also, that Ahobakiyam Stanakala Kutam. So he went to those woodcutters and asked, who you are? How did you learn such a wonderful song? Who is this personality you are talking about? They said, we are disciples of your father, Vedavyas. Then immediately Shukadeva Goswami returned back home and became a disciple of his father. And he learned Srimad Bhagavatam from him. So, that is why he says here, transcendently attractive pastimes. Krishna's pastimes are so attractive, even jnanis. If you read that verse, Brahma Bhuta Prasannatma, finally it is said, Mad Bhaktir Labhate Param. Bhakti begins from the Brahma Bhuta stage. After one comes to Brahma Jnani level, beyond that the true pure devotional service begins. So, here he is saying, by such regular and attentive hearing, my taste for such topics increased at every step. Now some of us may have a question that I have heard many pastimes of Krishna, but I didn't feel such a taste as the small boy felt. Why we don't feel such a taste? Like for example, when we used to come for Vrindavan Yatra, we used to hear this wonderful pastime of Damodar Leela from Dinabandhu Prabhu, you know. And we used to go to that Nandagam and all those places. So Dinam Prabhu, he would have told this pastime a million times. And every time you ask him to give a class on this, he will tell the pastime with the same enthusiasm. As if he is telling the pastime for the first time. So, in Yatra, many of us have come to Vrindavan Yatra 8 times, 10 times, and we have heard this pastime. So some devotees have a question, why when we hear this pastime, we feel, oh, I know it already. I heard about it before. I know what's going to come next. So, this kind of distaste, it's called arati in Sanskrit. Yata shrinvato apaiti aratir vitrishna. Bhagavatam itself says, 5 benefits of hearing. Yata shrinvato, by hearing the Srimad Bhagavatam, yata shrinvato apaiti arati. The arati will be destroyed and rati will come if one regularly hears. That's why he says that one should regularly hear. One should not think that I know it already. Because we have a tendency to hear the pastimes with our mind. Mind means I like, I don't like. Today I like one thing, tomorrow I don't like it. That is mind. Or we hear the pastimes with our intelligence, looking for some new information which we have not heard before, some nice proverbs or some quotes or some new thing which you can tell others that I learnt. So, hearing intellectually means looking for something new or something intellectually challenging. But hearing with the heart means hearing with faith. Because faith resides in the heart. So, actually one has to come to a point of understanding, I have nothing to be achieved in life other than the lotus feet of Krishna. There is no other goal I have. All other goals are puny, trivial, insignificant. So, at least intellectually we should be aware of this truth. And then there is no other place to go, no other person to be met, no other thing to be achieved. All I can achieve in life is only association of Krishna's lotus feet. When one comes to the point, then one can chant very fervently. And one can hear the pastimes with full attention. And also one knows, that is why I told you in the beginning, the respect for Krishna is very important before love for Krishna, especially for sadhakas. I am not talking about spontaneous bhaktas who are already in bhava stage. We are talking about devotees who are progressive devotees. Respect means, like Bhaktivinoda Thakur explains in his Jaiva Dharma, when a foolish living entity looks at the deity, He thinks it's an ordinary murti, made of wood or made of stone or metal or something like that. He thinks, I am seeing. Actually, we are not the seer. Krishna is the seer. Krishna is called drashta. He is seeing us. We cannot see him. We have no ability to see him. Just like we can never take a candle and look at the sun. When sunlight comes, we can see ourselves. And we can see others also. Nama Atma Pradipaya Sakshine Paramatmane, it is said. Similarly, the deities are seen with Jada Buddhi in the beginning. Then one sees with Manomaya Buddhi. Then one sees with Chinmaya Buddhi. In a Chinmaya Buddhi, when one sees, then one can see the deities are spiritual completely. Non-different from Krishna. So, in the same manner, the Katha also is Chinmaya actually. Krishna's form, Krishna's prasad, Krishna's Katha. Anything in relation to Krishna is Chinmaya. So the Chinmayatvata has to be appreciated by the Jiva. And we are Anuchid Vastu, Krishna is Bhuhachid Vastu. And the sambandha between the two is the prema. So if that becomes the essential transaction with Krishna in our lives, then the Chinmayata can be appreciated. Otherwise, the jadata is what creates boredom. Because we identify with the material body and we think of Krishna Katha to be also material, then we get tired. We go to sleep or we lose taste because we see from a very material point of view. And also, that's why Krishna says, janma karma chame divyam. You see, consider our knowledge and consider Krishna's knowledge. Just one aspect we will take, knowledge aspect. Like if you see in Kumbh Mela, sometimes a small child, you know, parents are worried that he may get lost. So they sometimes put an address on his pocket. They put his name and parents' name and some mobile number and some address and everything. And the child may sometimes get lost so that others can pick up the child and see the address and deliver the child to the parents. Because the child is agnyan. He doesn't know who he is. He doesn't know who his parents are. All he knows is to cry, that's all. You see, sometimes even a five-year-old child is having like that, sometimes. That means up to 4 or 5 years we live in darkness in this world. On the other hand, look at Krishna, when he appeared in Kamsa's jail, as soon as he appeared, he had blackish locks of hair, he had dress in his body, he had all jewelry, Kaustubha money and everything. He was not crying, he was smiling. Not only that, you know, his parents offered him obeisances, because Krishna was God. And then Harim and Sutam, both words are used. His Hari also and his Sutam, his child also. And then Krishna told them what is their identity. He said earlier you were Prishni and Sutapa, then you became Aditi and Kashyapa. Now you have become, now Devaki and Vasudev and I am your child. So even what they didn't remember, Krishna reminded them. Not that the child needs to be told, you know, put address or something. See the conditioned soul situation and see Krishna situation, compare it. Like this you should compare and see. That's why janma karma chame. So the divyata is chinmayata. So, to the degree a devotee develops a firm faith in Krishna's chinmaya nature, spiritual nature, to that degree one's heart also will gradually get spiritualized. To a degree one sees the one is doubtful about Krishna. Maybe Krishna is envious of asuras. Maybe he is envious of Shishupal. So these kind of misconceptions have to be cleared off. That is why this kind of Bhakti Vedantas, when they come together, they sometimes discuss controversial topics also, like Vali was sent an arrow by Lord Ram from behind the bush. So how it is completely justified by Ram, that is explained. These are all very vividly discussed. So whatever the suspicion and skepticism and doubts that may arise while developing faith in Krishna, Ram, that has to be completely destroyed into powder. And then when a very firm faith is established, that is why Krishna is saying, tad buddhayas, tad atmanas, tannishthas, tad parayanaha, kacchantyapunaravrittim, jnana nirdhuta kalmashaha. He's saying tannishtha. That nishtha resides in the heart, not in the head or mind. Nishtha resides in the heart. So that firm nishtha is achieved not by hearing from Mayavadis, who are always skeptical fellows. Not by hearing from Karma Mishra, Jnana Mishra, Yoga Mishra, Bhaktas. Because there are many Karma Mishra Bhaktas stress on only ritualistic aspects. The Yoga Mishra people, they try to control the mind and meditate by their own power, like the yogis. Jnana Mishra Bhaktas, they have a jnana bent on which they emphasize more in understanding Krishna. Prabhupada says in Kunti Maharani's book, don't try to understand Krishna, love Krishna, he says. So karma jnana yoga mishra, because of which the bhakti becomes slackened by that. So these Bhakti Vedantas were pure Vaishnavas, and Vaishnava means one who has a firm faith in spiritual world and Krishna's personal form in the spiritual sky, and they were loving relationship with him. They were firmly rooted in that. So for this small boy to hear from them with faith was very good, because his faith became thoroughly nourished. Actually, faith is absolutely needed, but the faith should be reposed at a place where it should be reposed. Otherwise, like the Putana pastime, Bhaktivedanta Saraswati says, small baby Krishna is our blossoming Krishna consciousness. And the Putana Rakshasi are like the Mayavadis who want to kill that blossoming bhakti in our heart. Like in the form of Putana, she wants to come and kill Krishna, you see. So, we also, our bhakti has to blossom as Krishna grows up in the same manner. So, attentive hearing by regular and attentive hearing. One thing is the regularity. If one doesn't give up hearing, one continues hearing sincerely and continues chanting. Sometimes Ekadashi days we try to chant more rounds. On ordinary days, 16 rounds also sometimes is like climbing a mountain, sometimes. 16 rounds you finish. Like that one feels, thank God, now 16 rounds are over now. But in Ekadashi day you chant 25 rounds or 30 or 40 rounds you chant. When we, the more we chant, gradually the mind will become subdued and it will become obedient. It will become submissive and gradually the taste will awaken. And hearing Bhagavad Katha is also like that. One should be patient in hearing and reading and contemplating. And also another thing he says here is attentive hearing. Because inattentive hearing becomes an offense, the mother of all offenses. So it has to be attentively heard and regularly heard. And this boy did that. And then Taddharma evatma ruchi prajayata. He says ruchi already awakened by hearing from them. He developed a taste. As we were discussing yesterday, awakening the ruchi means seeing Krishna as it is. There's no difference. So he started feeling a resonance with the Krishna conscious wisdom given. You know what is resonance? Like you take two forks. In physics laboratory we do this experiment. Like you vibrate one fork. The other fork also will vibrate in the same frequency. You seen that? You can do the experiment. You hit a fork, then this also vibrates. Similarly, in the Bhagavatam also, the speaker and hearer, like Shukadeva Goswami and Parikshit, their hearts were resonating. What is the meaning of resonating? The disciple understands what Guru is speaking about. And the Guru knows what the disciple needs. And there is a very strong connectivity between them. They know what we are discussing about. Not that the Guru is shooting in the sky something which the disciple doesn't understand. Or the disciple is going to sleep. It's not like that. Their hearts are resonating. Here also, the boy, Narada boy's heart was resonating with the Bhaktivedanta. That is why he is touched. The beauty of spiritual knowledge is, it originates from the heart and is placed in the heart of the other. That's why, Tene Brahma Hrida Ya Adikavaye, it is said. In the heart of Brahma, Lord Krishna gave the knowledge. And Brahma gave the knowledge in the heart of Narada. And Narada gave the knowledge in the heart of Vedavyas, which means, the disciple's heart is touched by the Guru. And what touches the heart will also make one inspired. Will also make one excited. Will also make one thrilled. It's also immortal. That which awakens such inspiration. And such enthusiasm is never ending. That's why susukam kartum. That is the word avyayam is used. It's an imperishable performance of service, devotional service. And it is also simply joyful. So, when the boy's heart was touched by the Bhaktivedantas, he immediately decided that I will surrender to these great persons and I will make them my life guide. And I will take inspiration and I will also advance and I will see Lord Krishna face to face. That kind of conviction developed. Yeah. Somebody can read this? The top one is when this transcendental taste,
when this transcendental taste became very strong, my attention became fully fixed on hearing about the Supreme Personality of Godhead. As a result, the mode of passion and ignorance vanished from my heart. I realized myself to be different from gross and subtle bodies. I loved those pure devotees greatly and with very gentle behavior, I strictly followed their instructions.
Yeah. You know the five A's? The first A is attraction. Attraction leads to attention. And attention leads to absorption. Absorption leads to attachment. And then that leads to affection. So, attraction is the first principle in devotional service, which is very, like somebody is attracted to some devotee in the road, somebody is attracted to prasad, somebody is attracted to deities, somebody is attracted to yatras, somebody is attracted to a book, somebody is attracted to the nature of a devotee. Some attraction has to be there for anyone to begin devotional service. That's the only qualification. And once it is begun, then the attraction becomes attention. What is attention? Then we focus on spiritual life. Then I will chant 16 rounds. I follow four regulative principles. Practicing in a more focused way. And then comes attachment. Attachment to Guru, attachment to Krishna, and attachment to Vaishnava Sangha, and attachment to deities. So, and that attachment gradually, third one is absorption. Absorption means one is able to avoid, you know, asatsanga completely and focus on, you know, satsanga. And then that absorption leads to attachment and then subsequently affection, sneha. Affection is actually pure love. So here also he says, my attention became fully fixed on hearing about the Supreme Lord. Tada rajastamo bhava. Everybody. Kamalobadayaschaye. Cheta etairanaviddham. Stitam sattve prasidati. Evam prasanna manaso. Bhagavat bhakti yogataha. Bhagavat tattva vijnanam. Mukta sangasya jayate. Vidyate hridaya grantes. Chidyante sarva samshayaha. Kshiyante chasya karmani. Drishtayeva atmanishvare. See, these verses are from Bhagavatam. The first verse says, Tada rajas tamo bhava. The rajas and tamas completely was destroyed, he is saying here. See, passion and ignorance vanished from my heart. And then what happens? Sitam sattve prasidati. One becomes situated in goodness. This is one symptom. How do I know I am advancing in spiritual life? What is the proof? Many people ask. So, in Bhagavatam, one very easy self-test is given in Srimad Bhagavatam. Three things have to happen if you are advancing in spiritual life. For example, a hungry man, when you take some morsel of food and put in the mouth, there is a taste for the food. And then it goes down the belly, then there is satisfaction in the belly. Then after the food digests, then there is strength. Similarly, three things. Taste, satisfaction, strength. Similarly, bhakti also, one should feel taste. I want to rise early in the morning. I want to go and take darshan of deities. I want to chant the holy name. I want to attend Bhagavatam class. I want to associate with devotees. I want to, you know, become more serious in bhakti. That is taste. Prabhupada said, what is taste? After completing 16 rounds, Prabhupada said, why only 16 rounds? Why not 16,000 rounds? This is taste, he said. So one feels like that. Then that means the taste is increasing. And satisfaction in the belly means what? No hankering. No hankering for opposite sex. No hankering for position, post and prestige and status. No hankering for followers. No hankering for name, fame, glory or pratishtha or anything. So one is very, very satisfied in devotional service. One is not chasing after any mirage. That is satisfaction. And what is this one? Strength. Strength to preach. Which means, when you have a tumbler, when you pour milk in that, when it is full, then what will happen? When you keep pouring, it will overflow. Similarly, one will develop a deep desire to preach and want to reach out Krishna to other living beings also. That is called Jivadaya, we call it. Like, you know, like in Arpuna temple, we used to tell the devotees, if you are initiated, you have to go for preaching. So some devotees say, Puji, is it really necessary that we should preach, you know? I will just practice and I don't feel very inspired to go and tell others about Krishna. I will practice. Actually, it is not possible. When you tell others about Krishna, then you'll have to read more. You have to study more. Then by studying more about Krishna, we will take in more of Krishna and give out more of Krishna. That's how we grow. But if we don't preach, if we don't give others Krishna, then we become stagnated in our life. We don't grow. That is why akhyatani api aditani. It is said in the Bhagavatam that one should not only read and hear, but one should also explain to others in one's own words, which is very, very important. That will avoid stagnation in spiritual life. Then that strength to preach means what? The desire to preach. The desire to want to tell others about Krishna. Like one has a choice. We may or we may not. So those three symptoms are given in Srimad Bhagavatam. So here he is saying that these unwanted things vanish from my heart, passion and ignorance. And then I was situated in goodness. And then evam prasanna manaso bhagavad bhakti yogata. Yoga means the connection was established with the Lord. See, one more qualification he had below. I loved those pure devotees greatly. This is a very special quality. If somebody loves devotees, he is very fortunate. Because such love can help us to stick on to association. And with a very gentle behavior, I strictly followed their instructions. This is another qualification. Prabhupada writes in NOI in the beginning, you have two ways to approach spiritual world. One is the staircase. You let go through karma yoga, jnana yoga, ashtanga yoga and bhakti yoga. Another one is through a lift. You board the lift and you put the button on, Goloka Vrindavan. You will reach that directly. Only we should not get down anywhere in between. The lift, once we get in, we have to straight away go there. So Prabhupada calls it as a one-stroke method, he says. What is it?
One-stroke
method. In Hindi we say, Sav sonariki ek lohariki. You know that? Like if you see a sonar, he takes a small hammer, tuk-tuk-tuk-tuk-tuk-tuk-tuk-tuk, little-little he hits. Whereas lohar takes one big sledgehammer, taaat, one hit, finished everything. This is Sav sonariki ek lohariki. So Krishna consciousness is like what? One-stroke method. Why it is called one-stroke method, we should know. Prabhupada says, most spiritualists also in this world think the material world has some problems and we will slowly sort it out, people think. If you go to heaven, you will not suffer as much as on earth. Or if you go to Brahma Jyoti, you will not suffer birth and death. So people, and also materialistic people are also solving the material problems. But Prabhupada says a Krishna conscious devotee knows this material world itself is a problem. He doesn't see material world has some problems. What he sees? Material world itself is a problem. Like that he says. So a devotee quits the material world once and for all. No more material world, no more material body, no more misery. Finished. And he goes back to Godhead. So Krishna consciousness, you will find sometimes a boy who is into smoking, drinking and all things. When he becomes a devotee, suddenly you see a radical change in them. Wearing tilak and dhoti, kurta, kantimala, everything comes. Krishna consciousness, Prabhupada said, drags one to ultimate success, he said, in the Upadeshamrita. So if one is sincere and attentive, one can progress very, very fastly in this path. In one life, one can go back to Godhead. So he strictly followed their instruction. That's the only qualification. Because in this one-stroke method, one should strictly follow the instructions of Guru, then one achieves perfection. Now they are all going back. When they were about to depart, they instructed me in bhakti yoga, the art of using everything in the service of the Lord, to ultimately return back home, back to Godhead. See, here the boy and mother are here and all the bhaktivedantas are leaving. Now Chaturmas period is over, the sun is shining now, autumn season. So they are leaving from that place. But by this time the boy has learned what is bhakti yoga and how to do bhakti and how to attract Krishna's attention. He has learned. And they have given him, surely they would have given him the holy name also. Because you will always find the Vaishnava path means you give Divya Jnan and you also give Divya Naam also. Like Narada Muni is giving Divya Jnan to Dhruva Maharaj. And he is also giving a holy name also, Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Similarly, he is giving Divya Jnana to Prahalad. And Prahalad also chanted Om Namo Narayanaya, he also chanted. So similarly, this boy also learnt a kind of Ashtanga type of procedure. In Ashtanga Yoga also there is chanting of holy name, Japa and Ishwara Pranidhani, both are there. Ashtanga Yoga. Yeah, please read it.
By Lord Krishna's mercy, I gradually became endowed first with transcendental knowledge of the Lord, then mystic opulence, and ultimately His intimate loving service. My dear Vyas, I request you to elaborately describe the pastimes of the Supreme Lord, for that will deliver the fallen human society from the miseries of material existence.
So here Narada is speaking to Vedavyas. He is saying, by Lord's grace, I understood the jnana, and then yoga, and then bhakti. Gradually, his consciousness got elevated over a period of time. Actually, our Vishnu Chakra Thakur explains, there are three types of jnana. Tvam padartha jnana, tat padartha jnana, and jiva ishwara aikya jnana. Three things. In this, the Vaishnavas condemn the third one. Because the Mayavadis cultivate Jeev Ishwar Aikya Jnana and they try to merge into Brahma Jyoti, which is verily condemned by the Vaishnava Siddhanta. But the other two, Tvampadartha Jnana and Tatpadartha Jnana, means the knowledge about Jiva and knowledge about the Super Soul, and the Lord, these two are very important. And they should be cultivated. Like we say, Sambandha Jnana means who is Ishwar and what is Maya and what is Jiva, this tripod. The sambandha between Ishwara and Jeev, and sambandha between Ishwara and Maya, Maya and Jeev, these three connections. So he acquired the knowledge, and gradually he is saying, my dear Vyas, I request you to elaborately describe the pastimes of the Supreme Lord, he says, for that will deliver the fallen human society from the miseries of material existence. So this is the speciality of Srimad Bhagavatam. Bhagavatam is full of pastimes of the Supreme Lord, which are all presented purely without any adulteration of karma, jnana, yoga or anything like that. It teaches unmotivated, uninterrupted love, purely, these pastimes. One day what happened? Yeah, did it?
While going out to milk a cow, my mother was bitten by a serpent and she died. I took this as Lord's special mercy.
You see, his mother was the only mother for him, the only person whom he knew in this world. She very much showered him with love, but now she has passed away. Imagine if it was anyone else in his place, they would have said, my dear Lord, I am trying to become your devotee, you took my mother away. You are so cruel, better I give you up. Whereas here, the opposite happened. He considered it a special mercy. Why? Anybody can say why? Why he considered it a special mercy? That only attachment he had was removed now. So he can very swiftly advance in spiritual life now. Okay, if he told his mother that I want to become brahmachari, I want to go to jungle and practice devotion service, do you think mother would have allowed him? Very unlikely. Mother may be attached. She will say that, you know, you are my only property, my child. I have raised you, you have to take care of me in my old age. You have to be with me. So here, he thought that when she is gone, my only shelter is Krishna only. Yeah. Even though I had no experience of foreign lands, I immediately left home and started for the north. You see? After passing numerous cities, towns, villages, farms, forests, mountains and valleys, I entered a densely dark jungle with snakes, owls and jackals. You see, when he was passing through cities and towns and villages, in the jungle he came across some diamond mountains, some gold mines, and that is mentioned in Bhagavatam specifically. Why it is mentioned? Although he saw gold mines, he never thought that I will dig some gold and start some gold business. That never came to him. He saw them, he just ignored it, because now that taste is finished now. Material taste is over now. Now we want to attain Krishna. He went ahead. Similarly, here it is said, he saw a jungle with snakes, owls and jackals, frightening sounds coming from the jungle. But Prabhupada writes in that 16.1 Bhagavad Gita purport that one who is becoming a renunciate should be fearless. Abhayam, he says. One should never think, you know, who will protect me. Prabhupada says, one should be confident that the Supreme Personality of Godhead in the heart of animals and reptiles, he will inform them not to kill the devotee. And the example he gives is how Haridas Thakur was living in a cave, and a huge serpent was also living in that same cave. One day when some Vaishnavas came to meet Haridas Thakur, and the big serpent was coming out, mountain serpent, and they saw that and got frightened. And then Haridas Thakur saw that the devotees are feeling little fear, and he also considered, probably this cave is the house of the snake. You know, I think I should not compete with him, you know, living here. Maybe I'll go to another place, he was thinking. And knowing the intention of Thakur, Haridas, the snake slithered away. And then leaving the place for Haridas Thakur. So Prabhupada says there, Haridas Thakur was confident that, you know, there is also super soul in the heart of the snake, who will tell him not to bite me. So, similarly here also snakes, owls, jackals and all these things were making hissing sounds and all that. He was never fearful. Did it?
Since I had become very thirsty and fatigued, I drank the water and bathed to refresh myself. Then I sat down in the shade of a great banyan tree and began meditating upon the supreme soul within, as I had learned from my spiritual masters.
In Bhagavatam you will find Kapila telling Devahuti, you know, Narada telling Dhruva Maharaj, procedure about starting from Yama, Niyama, Pranayama, Asana, Pratyahara, Dharana, Dhyana, Samadhi. That procedure he followed, step by step. So the Yama, Niyama are the do's and don'ts, and Pranayama is to control the mind, Asanas is to control the senses, and Pratyahara is to shut the senses from unwanted distractions. And then beginning from Dharana, Dhyana, Samadhi are the three stages of meditation. So he did that. He was focusing on the super soul.
As soon as I concentrated my mind upon the lotus feet of the Lord, it became transformed due to transcendental love. As tears fell from my eyes, Lord Krishna appeared on the lotus of my heart. All my senses became spiritually enlivened.
Romanchakam Pashutaranga Bajo Vande Guru Shri Charan Aravindam is saying, no? There is Ashtasatvika Vikar which will manifest in a devotee like Dhruva Maharaj. Just prior to going back to Godhead, there were tears flowing in his eyes and hair stood on end and body was shivering. And then the Vaikuntha airplane came and took Dhruva Maharaj. Similarly, you find when Lord Vishnu appeared in front of Dhruva, you know, Dhruva couldn't speak a word. So Lord took his shank and kept on his head. Then he spoke amazing words as he spoke. Lord thought, instead of me blowing the conch shell and creating auspiciousness, let me keep it on his head and let him speak wonderful verses. Lord made him speak many nice verses. So at that time Dhruva said, my dear Lord, by your divine touch, my senses all have become enlivened, especially the tongue, he said. Similarly here also, he became enlivened, all his senses became spiritually enlivened. And then, vision
of Lord's form provides one with a deep satisfaction that is beyond description.
Yeah, just like Dhruva's mother told Dhruva, when you see Vishnu, you know, you will get the love of a million mothers, she said. And that Dhruva experienced.
Then, I sat down in the shade of a great...
It has gone back, I think. See, he got the vision of the Lord. Thus, when the Lord vanished from my sight, I jumped up with great agitation. So, Lord gave him darshan briefly, but then he again disappeared. So he became very restless now, because he saw the Lord once for a few moments and then he wanted to see him again.
Despite my efforts to capture him with my meditation, I could not do so.
Sometimes you chant Hare Krishna, you get some special taste. Next day you sit in the same posture, you know, I try to chant and that day you don't get the taste. You wonder why yesterday was so good. People think in this particular place if I sit I will be getting taste. People think like that. You know? So the chanting or meditation is not a mechanical thing. Unless Krishna is pleased with us, he will not give that taste. So he also tried several times and he started crying, my dear Lord, why you are not giving me the taste I got? I saw you, where are you now? Then the Lord told them,
upon seeing my sincere attempt in that lonely place, the Lord, while remaining invisible, spoke to me with a grave voice, just to mitigate my sorrow.
Yeah. For him it was a lonely jungle. For us, lonely means we are avoiding asatsanga and trying to do bhakti in a more focused way. Leaving aside all the material comforts and facilities and everything. So Lord will be very pleased with the devotee who tries to do ekantika bhakti, fixed devotion service without getting distracted. So Lord took pity on him, and then he told them,
O Narada, I regret to inform you that you will not be able to see me again during this lifetime, because one who is not freed from all material contamination can hardly approach me.
The Lord told him, your heart is not fully clean, there is some tinge of material contamination due to which you can't see me. Now somebody may ask, if there was a tinge of material contamination, then how did the Lord come in front of him? That is like a sample soap. Sometimes a shop, you go to a shop, without giving money, they give you a small sample soap. And then you use the sample soap with a lot of lather and everything, you come back to shop and ask, can I get one more? They will say, now you have to pay the price. Similarly, the Lord also gives darshan to inspire Narada despite his not having qualification. And then the Lord said, if you want to see me again, now you have to really clean your heart fully. And then those who have not yet done enough services, they cannot see me also, Lord will say,
As a special favor, I have shown myself to you just to increase your desire to come to me. By my mercy, neither your advancement in Krishna consciousness nor your remembrance will ever be impeded, even at the time of creation or annihilation.
That means you will go on advancing in Krishna consciousness and you will never forget me. You will always remember me. Great blessing the Lord gave him. You will always, will never have vismaran. You will always remember me.
As a special favor?
That's over. The last one,
Thus, fully absorbed in thinking of the Lord Krishna, in due course of time, I was freed from all taints of material attachment. I met with death. Instantaneously, I received a transcendental form that was befitting an associate of the Lord, just as lightning and illumination occur simultaneously.
Yeah, just like when there is a lightning in the sky. Similarly, as soon as this body of the Dasi Putra boy died, the next moment he became Narada. Immediately, like a lightning producing light. So this is a very hope-giving pastime, because there is a promise given in the scriptures, anyone who renders devotional service at the appropriate time, Krishna will award the results. Here he becomes Narada. You can see he is carrying the veena now. Immediately he became a sage amongst demigods. Bhakta amongst demigods. Deva Rishi. And then he would fly place to place and preach. Thereafter,
I appeared as Lord Brahma's son, but unlike his other sons, my appearance was completely spiritual. Since then, by the grace of Lord Vishnu, I have been traveling everywhere, both in the spiritual and material worlds, singing on Veena the glories of the Lord.
Narada Muni Bhajaya Veena Radhika Ramana Name. Narada Muni Bhajaya Veena Radhika Ramana Name. So Brahma created many sons. From his eyes he created Atri. From his thumb he created Daksha. From his ears he created Pulastya. Like that he created Narada from his deliberation, from his heart. But one speciality is that Narada did not have a material body. He had a spiritual body, which could go from one planet to another. He could go to Swarga, Naraka, anywhere. He could go to the spiritual world also. So he says that, the last one,
My dear Vyas, thus it has been very directly experienced by me that the best means for suffering conditioned soul to cross over the ocean of nescience is to situate themselves in the boat of constant chanting of the holy name and pastimes of the Supreme Lord.
Two things are emphasized. We should chant the holy names of the Lord and chant the holy fame. Fame means the glories. The Srimad Bhagavatam.
The restraint of senses by yoga can give one temporary relief from material distress, but only active service to the Supreme Lord can one attain the real satisfaction of the soul.
Yeah. A yogi controlling the senses is like keeping a tiger under captivation with a rope or something. Anytime the tiger may give a slap to the person and kill him and run into the jungle. Huh? So the senses cannot be artificially controlled. But by bhakti, the senses are drowned in bliss of bhakti, by which the senses will become practically materially inactive and spiritually awakened. Huh? And that is the only procedure. Like that he says. Yeah. You know who is this? Now Narada has already become a devotee now and he is delivering another personality. You know who it is? This is Dhruva Maharaj. He has come out of his palace now. He is going to the jungle now. So once Narada became a devotee, then he is going on delivering so many. He delivered Prachana Parishad, delivered Prahalad, he delivered Dhruva, delivered so many people after that. So in this way, Narada explained about his own becoming a devotee, how he became a devotee to Vedavyas. If you read the Srimad Bhagavatam first canto, it's very elaborate. I just speeded through because we wanted to complete it today. One last small point I wanted to make was that the bhakti yoga, if it is practiced with great seriousness, it can remove all kinds of contaminations. Whereas in the Muchukunda section, Lord Krishna is telling Muchukunda, Ashtanga Yoga leaves some vasanas, even after very serious performance of Ashtanga Yoga or Jnana Yoga, they leave some vasanas. Whereas in Bhakti, the vasanas are also destroyed completely. So, we are very fortunate to be situated in the Bhakti Yoga, chanting the holy name and reciting Srimad Bhagavatam on a regular basis. This is actually told by Narada to Vedavyas, and that is the time Vedavyas in his maturity wrote the Srimad Bhagavatam. Bhashyam Brahma Sutranam, it is said. The commentary to the Vedanta that he wrote. Mantra Srimad Bhagavatam ki, Srila Prabhupada ki, Narada Muni ki, Vedavyas ki, Gaur Bhaktavinda ki, Harinam Sankirtan ki. Thank you very much.